Proverbs 6 and verses 16 through 19. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Very often, we hear about what the Bible teaches about God's love. And that's good. Praise God. God is love. Scripture says that. But we have to face the truth. We have to face all of Scripture. We must also learn what that means. What are we seeing here in Proverbs 6? The teaching that God hates. When we think of God, we really have to realize he is a person. We're created in his image as persons. And there are things he loves and things he hates. First, we see that God hates those with haughty eyes. This simply means he hates the proud. Kind of thinking about someone, they see someone that they think they're better than, and they're haughty, they kind of look down their nose at them. Oh, how disgusting. The proud are those who think more highly of themselves than they ought. They will not acknowledge the truth about their dependence upon God. They like to imagine they don't need God. The proud refuse to admit their sin, and they refuse to humble themselves and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. They actually are haughty against the gospel. They look down upon the gospel. They look down upon the word of God. They will not humble themselves and submit to God's way of salvation. Humility is the way for Christians who want to please God. And look at 1 Peter 5 and verses 5 and 6. And we read, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." He may exalt you. Wouldn't a wonderful thought that he would do that with us? We know it's all of his grace, but one day as we humble ourselves before him, he will exalt us. We have to also look at what's next in Proverbs 6:17, and we see that God hates a lying tongue. Remember, because Eve believed the lies of Satan and Adam followed, that mankind became subject to sin and sickness and death and ultimately eternal torment. It is lies about God that lead people away from Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus speaks of the devil as what? The father of lies. And those who lie are his children. I can remember through the years, the various churches I preached at, pastored, I pointed out in families that as soon as you lie within your family, maybe husband to wife, wife to husband, children to parents, whatever it might be, as soon as you lie within any relationship, you've just invited Satan into that relationship. God hates a lying tongue because he's the truth. And he knows also that it's like bringing cancer into your body on purpose, so that you, what happens, there are many things you touch and it kills you, or it starts to kill you over time. And so it also hates it because of what it does to the human race. And then we come to the third type of person that God hates, those who have hands that shed innocent blood. And this, of course, speaks of murderers. It also speaks of those who are abusers of wife or children, violent to the innocent. And so, of course, one of the things that comes right to mind as Christians is abortion. And the people that stand out more in my mind, and probably yours more than any others, are those who are involved in supporting abortion in any way. If there ever was innocent blood, we know that all of us are born sinners, but in the sense of actually committing sin, if there ever was innocent blood, in the way this verse speaks of it, surely it's the blood of unborn children. Harsh will be the judgment on those who in any way support abortion. Fourthly, we see God hates those who have a heart that devises wicked plans. Now, these are people who don't plan how they are going to be blessings to others. We've just heard tonight an effort to go out in the neighborhood and bring Jesus Christ to these people, to bring salvation, eternal salvation. You had to sit around and make plans. How are we going to do this? And you were planning to bring blessing, devising plans that would bring God's blessing in order to do that. But these people plan evil, and if other people get hurt, that's too bad. In fact, very often, their plans are actually made to hurt people purposely. Right now, as I'm preaching this, there are people in rooms or someplace, and they're planning to rob, perhaps to murder somebody. They're sitting around, like we've heard of all these carjackings that go on in Philadelphia, and that there are people sit around and plan evil. And God hates this. He's not happy with that at all. Hates is a very strong word. And fifth, we see similar to the fourth, people who have feet that run rapidly to evil. And before I knew the Lord, I used to hang around with people who had feet who ran rapidly to evil. I had a close friend, and as time went on, he just kind of went deeper and deeper into things. And it was interesting. I remember in grammar school, if there was some sort of mischief that was done, lived up in Whippany, New Jersey. If there was some sort of mischief that was done in Whippany, the police would actually come to the school and get my friend George, his name was George too, and I'm not speaking about myself, as if, although I was not an angel at that time, but they would come and get George and bring him out in the hall and question him. And there are people that just seem to always be in trouble. Sad thing, sad thing. I'm one who, since I was close friends with him, I think about there, as you've heard the saying, there but for the grace of God go I. And I look back and I think, yeah, praise God for his mercy to me. I certainly didn't deserve it, but he had mercy to me. So much mercy that he saved me. And then he gave me my wonderful wife, Ruth, also. So it's amazing, amazing grace of God. Then, of course, we have a sixth type. Again, it's similar to what was there, but God hates a false witness who utters lies. And this would have more the tendency of someone who, like what happened to Jesus, that they brought false witnesses to testify against Jesus. More of a court of law type things. Things that I think we've seen in our recent politics. Things that people believed about certain people and they proved to be lies, but people were making absolute judgments about people and they were lies. And they certainly, meant a lot of harm. You start witnessing, when you do in the legal sense, in the court sense, the state has power to throw you into jail. It isn't just a matter of hurting your reputation. And of course, when we think about all these things, we have to go to one last type here. The last type is one who spreads strife among brothers. They're the troublemakers. They spread half-truths and out-and-out lies to make trouble between people. I remember growing up, and there was a man who had the reputation of going into a bar or and stirring up trouble. And he was the type of guy that would stir up trouble and maybe start a bar fight, and then he would walk out of the bar. He would cause the trouble, and he liked doing things like that. I remember my father talking about this particular man, and I'm not going to name him because you would know his name anyway, but it was very, very sad to have a reputation like that. How much more could be said about each of these types of persons but that God hates, but I wanted us to have an overview in order to be able to examine ourselves to see if we somehow may fall into any of these categories, that maybe we get involved in gossip, we're talking and to someone and all of a sudden they start to gossiping, and next thing you know, something's slipping out of our tongue that shouldn't be said, instead of maybe even rebuking the person who is starting the gossip and say, you know, we really shouldn't be talking about them that way. And Scripture is not pleased with that. God is not pleased with that. So if we call ourselves Christians, we better not see ourselves there. If we were once there, we better have changed. We better show forth in our lives that we're born again, that we're new creations in Christ. And things like lying and making plans, that we're regularly making plans of how we're going to bless people. How can we be a blessing? How can our church be a blessing? Right now, you're small numbers here, but if it's the Lord's will, and we pray it is, that he can fill these pews up with brothers and sisters who want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And from what I hear about going out in the neighborhood, that's the way to do it. And to pray. I remember in Ringo's, in my first church, I spent a lot of time praying for people to come. And by God's grace, I know people would come, and they would had been searching for churches in the area, and they visited this one and that one, and finally came to our church, and they realized that they wanted to hear the truth of Scripture, and they wanted pure Scripture. They didn't want the man's opinions or rehashing the last football game on Sunday or something like that, as some preachers apparently do from what I hear. And next thing you know, the members and the church is being built up, and through prayer. Gotta spend a lot of time praying for the growth of the church. The Lord hears you. And just pray that it's his will to build this church up. He gives you this beautiful facility. It'll be nice to see it filled with faithful brothers and sisters. I think it'd be good to go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'll begin at verse 9. We read, or do you not know? Just a second, I'm a little bit, my glasses are not helping me here. Okay, 6 and then 9. Okay. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God, brothers and sisters. Praise God what he's done in our lives. God, the Holy Spirit, actually indwells us so that all that stuff can be cast out and we can be filled with joyful, loving obedience to God's word. And I'm not speaking about works righteousness that's part of our justification. No, we're saved only by Jesus dying for our sins on the cross and by his righteousness imputed to us. That's the basis of our salvation. That's it. That's it. But our more and more keeping his commandments is the evidence that we're being sanctified. Actually, God, the Holy Spirit, is working within us, throwing out the garbage and filling us with joyful, loving obedience to our commands. Remember, Jeremiah 31 speaks about how God would work when we're born again. That the new heart would be put in us, a soul that what? They're filled with his commandments. Our law would be written, his law would be written upon our hearts. And so we should be seeing that in our lives. And so we should run from what God hates and run to everything that God loves. And also the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, that's what we need to do. And as that happens, and you become brighter and brighter lights in this world of darkness, and as God has his elect in this area, they'll be drawn here. And as the word is preached, that they'll be drawn even more to be built up in the faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for how wonderful you are, how gracious and merciful and loving. We know your word is clear. We deserve your wrath. We're born dead in sins and trespasses. Left to ourselves, we would have never come to you. But you, even before the foundation of the world, set your love upon us that one day we would repent of our sins and truly trust in you, Lord Jesus, as the only basis of our salvation. So we thank you for saving us and keeping us. Bless us now. Be with this congregation, Lord, as they long to see these pews filled with faithful brothers and sisters. We pray, even now as we pray, you'll be moving in the hearts of those who are already here, who are among your elect to come here, those who may be moving in, Lord, because of decisions made by corporations that to move them into this area, and that they'll come out and visit here and be built up in the faith and remain here and to help build this congregation. And bless the evangelism efforts in a powerful way. Pray for this guy, Joey. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.